Welcome to the Pumps and Systems Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Champlin, managing editor of Pumps and Systems Magazine. You can find these podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and CastBox, and on pumpsandsystems.com/podcast. Today we will talk with Rodney Howard. He is the product manager of process controls for Warner Electric up in Wisconsin. Rodney is a registered control system engineer in the state of Wisconsin and also an ISA magazine certified automation professional. Today we will talk about positive displacement pumps for product blending and get to the basics on that. So first off, Rodney, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Drew.
And just before we get into the actual topic, just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, how long you've been with Warner Electric.
I've been with Warner Electric for 2 years now. I came as the process control product manager after 35 years in the industry. And I started my career as an instrumentation and control apprentice in Richmond, California, working at Chevron Refinery, and worked my way up from there, attending school at night. From the refinery days as a contract labor force in the refinery, I went to work for Cutter Laboratories in Berkeley, and then from there I actually went to work for Shell Oil as an instrumentation and control technician, and from there I've got independent power production experience where I was responsible for six fluid bed unit distributed control systems, otherwise known as a DCS, which operates the power plant. So I was responsible for the development of the logic. And then from there, I went into the brewing industry up in Seattle, Washington, and went to work for Rainier Brewery. And much of what we'll be talking about today draws on my experience at Rainier Brewery, where we used recipe management for blending product, and we used positive displacement pumps. And from there, I left the Seattle region and moved back to Green Bay, Wisconsin, where I wrapped up a 15-year career at the Wisconsin Public Service Utility, where I oversaw major projects. I was the senior control system engineer and was involved with power plant development and construction, as well as natural gas. So all of these applications are process control related, and there's applications within each one of these industries that use positive displacement pump technology.
Okay. Well, just starting off with the basics here, Rodney, what is a positive displacement pump?
So a positive displacement pump can be broken into two categories. There's the reciprocating type, and then there's the rotary lobe type. When somebody says to you, well, what's the difference between a reciprocating positive displacement pump? It would be akin to your engine on your vehicle, where you have a piston that compresses and then pulls in oxygen and gas, and then there's the explosion and it compresses, and then it's a piston that will pull in liquid and then push out that known volume of liquid. So the concept is like a engine on your vehicle with a piston, but in this case we're using liquid. So when the piston pulls down, a check valve relieves, you pull in liquid product, the piston pushes up, and it pushes it out the other side of the chamber using another check valve. The other type is the rotary. And a good concept for that is if you take your fingers and you spread them apart, and then you stick your fingers between their gap, and then you rotate your fingers down, that is creating a geared scenario, otherwise known as a lobe. So when you have two of these gears spinning in opposite directions, you're pulling the product in between the teeth or the lobe, and you're pushing that metered product out. So the positive displacement pump, it really meters in a specific volume of liquid, and it pushes out a specific volume of liquid. You can use it for viscous material, which is thick material, if you need to accurately deliver or get a viscous product from one area to another. Positive displacement pump is great for that. Or if you need to blend product in, which is lighter viscosity, it's excellent for that too. So that, in a nutshell, is a positive displacement pump. What goes in has to come out.
Why would you use positive displacement pumps in food and beverage applications?
We use positive displacement pumps in food and beverage applications for a variety of process applications. One of the main ones is batching. So if I'm going to meter in, and let's just use cheese as an opportunity here for an example. If I'm going to use a cheese, I have to know how much my dairy product I'm metering into the large vat. So I could use a positive displacement pump in correlation with a flow meter, and I can monitor exactly how much I'm pushing in. In the brewing application, once the product is out of the brew kettle and it's been cooled and it's on its way to the fermentation cellar, I might meter in a known volume of yeast. I want a specific volume of yeast that I want to inject into the beer, and I really don't want any oxygen, or maybe I do want oxygen. It depends on what your application is. You would use a positive displacement pump to push the metered product into the beer product. So if your recipe calls for sweetening or flavoring additives, but a specific volume because you want the product to be consistent time after time, you use positive displacement pump, and typically the lobe type where you have those that geared effect that allows you to meter in exactly the ingredient you're after. You can meter in cultures into cheese, enzymes into cheese, whether it's water into a dry powder that you've measured on a scale. You measure the dry product, you add it to a vessel, and then you meter in a known amount of water. You might want to use a positive displacement pump for that. So all of these things have food and beverage uses, and that's why you would use what we call a PD pump.
So what's the best way to use a PD pump in a metering application?
The best way to use a positive displacement pump in a metering application would be, first of all, if you want to use a positive displacement pump on an application that's typically 100 gallons per minute or less. So that would be the upper end, 100 gallons per minute. So if you want to get a conceptual around what that looks like, think about 100 gallons of milk coming at you down a delivery line in 1 minute. So that would be about the maximum amount of flow rate you'd want to push through a positive displacement pump. The other thing you really would be a best practice to use in correlation with a positive displacement pump is a variable frequency drive, otherwise known as a VFD. And the variable frequency drive allows you to control the speed of the motor, which is coupled to the pump. So by turning down the speed on the motor, you're actually turning down the rotation of the pump, and that allows you finer control of the pump as you're approaching the end state of a recipe, a volume that you know you have to add, so you don't have to go straight out at 100% flow rate. You can actually walk the flow down and end your recipe addition at a very fine point. The other way, in conjunction with that, you want to use a flow meter so that you can, so that you can totalize the amount of product that goes through the pump and into the vessel you're going to use, whether it's a storage chamber, a storage vessel, a blending system, online blending system, to where you're adding ingredients into a pipeline that has a base material that this is where you would add the flavoring or sweetening components to. You want to use a flow meter that can totalize, and the flow meter, if you're actually flowing at 60 gallons a minute, well, the totalizer will take a 1 second time slice and actually count up to 60 gallons in 1 minute. So if you reset the totalizer to zero, in 1 minute it will count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 until you hit 60. And if your recipe says, hey, you need to add 55, then at the 55 mark you stop the pump cycle. So that's how this is all working. That would be the best way to use it.
Okay. What other components should be included in the system?
Well, if we go back to the original discussion where we're talking about what is a positive displacement pump, and you realize that what goes in must come out, now we look at the components that you must use on the pump in order to keep the system safe. So what's common in a PD pump application is that on the discharge of the pump, you have a safety relief valve. And that safety relief valve is a safety valve, and it's a spring-loaded valve, so that if your delivery pipe to whatever vessel, whatever blending system you're tying into, becomes restricted and that pump is spinning, you've got to put that liquid somewhere. So typically what we see is that there's a relief valve that either returns the product back to the storage tank you're pulling from, or it returns it back to the inlet of the pump. So you're essentially creating a loop back on the pump so that you don't blow out the pump seals or blow out the pipe seals or valve packing, whatever the situation might be, because these pumps are powerful and they can cause damage if you restrict the delivery line. So if that happens, you have to have a relief valve, so you lift the safety relief and allow the product to return back to a tank or return back in on itself. The other thing you want to do is add an accurate flow meter like we just discussed. So the best types of flow meters you can add for a positive displacement pump would be a magnetic flow meter. It's just a solid, I shouldn't say solid, it's a hollow flow meter that uses electrodes. As long as the material that you're pushing through the pipe is water-based, it will tell you what the flow rate should be. Doesn't work so great on gasoline or hydrocarbons. The other type of flow meter you can use is what we call a Coriolis flow meter. And it is also an inline pipe, but it's a U shape to it, and it vibrates at a very high frequency. And that vibration allows you to measure the accuracy of the flow to very high percentages. It's one of the highest, if not the highest, accuracy flow meters you can purchase. So that's ideal. And as well as a flow meter, you want to have block valves that block your system in so that when you're done metering, you can stop the system, lock it up, and wait for your cleaning cycle. Because again, if you're making food and beverage, you're going to have to follow up with the cleaning. Some of these pumps have built-in relief valves built into the pump. That's an added cost, to be sure, whether you go with an external relief valve or an internal one. But what you have to keep in mind is that if you lift the relief and you're flowing a food-based product down that line, you've got to clean it. So you don't want to lift the safety if you don't have to, but if you do, you've got to clean it. So those are the kinds of considerations you have to take into account when you're talking a positive displacement pump and what you should include in your design.
Okay. So, you know, focusing on that, what common mistakes do you see when setting up or operating these systems?
Some of the common mistakes that we see usually occur during the commissioning phase when perhaps the process hasn't been defined to the high degree it needed to be. Perhaps somebody got anxious and they wanted to see the pump rotate, not realizing maybe there was something in the pipe. Then you get to the commissioning phase where you see that I've operated the pipe where I haven't set my logic up, whether I'm using a programmable logic controller or a distributed control system or even a standalone control system. If you have valves that are in line with that pump, before you start the pump, those valves have to show they're open. And some of the mistakes we see is that we run the pump without the valve lining being open, in which case we actually relieve the valve, like I discussed earlier, and you test the safety relief valve when you really didn't intend to. So other mistakes we see is that if you do build a safety relief system in, you know, you haven't taken into account for the fact that, hey, if that safety relieves, I've got to do a clean in place, otherwise known as CIP. How do I clean that internal valve? If I bought a positive displacement pump with an internal relief valve. Was that really the right application for this food and bev? Sometimes we say we don't want a relief valve. We want to put an actual valve in place, and we look at the pressure on the pipe downstream of the pump. And if the pressure gets too high, then we actually open up a valve and let the recirculation take place. So if you do that, you have to have a way again to fill the line up with a cleaning solution and then open that valve and allow the pump to recycle on itself with the cleaning solution. So these are some of the things we see that are not best practice. Maybe you've oversized the pump, maybe you've undersized it, in which case it doesn't meet the delivery requirements that you needed for your recipe. There's a host of things that happen on the process engineering side that maybe were overlooked, and I've just given you just a few.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that the most important thing with a positive displacement pump is they can be dangerous, you know, because like I said, what goes in has to come out. So if you don't have a way to relieve the system, you are going to blow pump seals. You could seize up the motor. You could seize up the vanes within the pump. You could damage the vanes or the lobes. And if you get to that point, well, you know, you've just bought a very expensive pump and a very expensive repair bill. So you just don't want that to happen. So you have to build the safety relief systems in, and you have to build the logic in that says, my pathway better be open from the inlet of my pump to the exit of the pump to where I'm going so I don't block anything up. That's a key takeaway.
Well, great, Rodney. That's some great information on positive displacement pumps. So I just want to say I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise and knowledge.
Well, thanks, Drew. I appreciate you having me on, and maybe we can do this again in a different type of pump environment or a different application.
Thank you for listening to the Pumps and Systems Podcast. Thank you to Rodney Howard from Werner Electric for coming on and sharing his expertise. You can find the Pumps and Systems Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, CastBox. Please subscribe. Please leave us a review and a rating. And until next time, we will talk to you soon.